Good morning. My name is Pastor Mark Claiborne, and I'm the associate pastor here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Frederick, Maryland. We are indeed blessed by the gift of music, so we thank Sister Tamara for the prelude. Amen. Welcome to our time to worship. If you're excited to be here this morning, outdoors, in the parking lot, or online, can we give God some praise? Amen, amen. When praises go up, blessings come down. Amen. So you may have noticed that Pastor Eleazar, the senior pastor, is not here this morning. And so we pray God's blessing on him and his family while he's out on vacation. But we are also blessed to have Pastor John here this morning that's going to help with the worship service. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So if you're watching this morning, we are glad that you are with us. Through the digital mode, we seek to reach out to folks throughout our faith community and everyone around us. While the social distancing continues, we continue to offer services, studies, prayer through a means of this newer technology. Amen. God always provides, doesn't he? Amen. So we are blessed to have another way to bring you the worship service to God's people, whether it's here in the parking lot or through the live stream. God makes a way. This allows us to still worship together in spirit and in truth and in a way that is safe for everyone. Now, when the time is right for us to worship back in the church, we will communicate the new process with everyone and we will let them know how we will proceed. In the meantime, our services will continue to be in the parking lot, weather permitting, of course. And people can also go to our Facebook page and to the live stream on YouTube to experience our Sunday worship service live. Therefore, we urge everyone to stay safe, stay strong, and hold on to hope. God is with us. I'll say that again. God is with us. So please continue to pray for God's healing mercies throughout our country and throughout the world. If you are interested in continuing to grow spiritually, please check our website to connect with some of the different opportunities that are available for growth and how to connect with them online. If you join, you can rest assured that you will be greatly blessed. Our learning opportunities are geared towards making sure that you can participate and experience the blessing of God for all of God's people. So visit our website at www.trinityfrederick.org for more information. If you're interested, please register online by sending us an email so that we can send you a link for that particular learning opportunity that you are interested in. All of our groups and meetings are through Zoom currently, which means our youth group, our grow time and Sunday classes, our men's Bible study, our women's Bible study, and all other studies during the week are online. We have been blessed by this opportunity to serve in this new way. So if you are watching the service online through YouTube, we encourage you to hit the like button, the button below the video, which is a thumbs icon. Hit that like button. If you want to subscribe to our channel, you can hit the subscribe button right underneath the like button. If you have a prayer request, you can put your prayer request in the comment section, or you can email us directly if you want us to contact you and have a word of prayer with you individually. We thank you for your prayers and your continued support. And as we come together this morning, may you and yours be blessed throughout this worship experience from the people here at Trinity United Methodist Church. Amen.
All right. Our first lesson for today is recorded in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, verses 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Here ends the first reading. Our second reading comes from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, peace and grace to you. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 15 through 22. And thus it reads, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him with what they said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?' But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, 'Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it comes time for our meditation of hearing the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so today I will be preaching from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10, which was already read by Pastor John and read so graciously. This passage of Scripture is one of 13 letters that most scholars believe that Paul wrote in the New Testament. This particular letter of 1 Thessalonians is considered one of the undisputed epistles that was written by the Apostle Paul, meaning scholars believe that without a doubt, Paul actually wrote the letter. There is no study in the past that provides any evidence that disputes that Paul is actually the author of the letter. And so when we think about this passage of Scripture, Paul is teaching us that the church of Thessalonica is the model church. And for the first four verses, we can clearly see that this Thessalonian church is indeed a strong church that sets its foundation on the Lord. And verses 5 through 10 speaks on having a strong conversion, not just for the people, but also the church. But as we go through the passage today, let us focus on how we can become a strong church ourselves and how we can grow in our walk with the Lord and help others grow in their conversion as well. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, honor, glory, and praise for everything that has taken place in the service so far. Now it comes time to bring forth your holy word. So I ask that you use me as your instrument and as your tool to preach and teach your holy word. Help me to preach it with power, conviction, and clarity. Don't let nobody leave here the same way they came. We pray that your word changes us, rearranges us, restores us, and renews us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And so the first thing that we discover in today's passage is that if we want to be a strong church for the Lord, like the church of the Thessalonians, we have to have strong ministers who have a faithful commitment to the church. You can say amen on that. Amen. But notice, if you will, in the first verse, we learn that Paul was not just writing this letter alone. He was blessed to have Silas and Timothy there with him, exhorting the church. And you see, it was these three particular ministers who had founded and ministered to the church throughout the early years of his ministry. And the Thessalonica church was strong because of its ministers and because they had remained faithful to the church. This means they stayed in touch with the church. They exhorted the church. They encouraged and urged the church to follow on with the Lord. While on mission trips, they understood the importance of staying connected to the church by writing back to the church. But then Paul teaches us that a strong church is a church of the people. Notice that Paul did not address the letter to the church of Thessalonica, the place. He addressed it to the church of the Thessalonians, meaning he addressed it to the people. You see, the church was the people. The people who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Without the people who are committed to the Lord, there is no church. And this letter was addressed to all the people in the church. Every believer was important, and it took every one of them to make up this strong church, just like it takes all of our members to take up the powerful presence of the Lord and Trinity. If we're going to be a strong church, we have to acknowledge that everyone here is important to God and important to the church. And your gifts are important and need to be used in order to make up the fullness of the church. But what if I don't have anything to offer? Who told you that? Everyone has something to offer. Because in God's kingdom, everyone is important and every gift is valuable. And if anyone has told you that, they didn't tell you the truth. Because you are important to the body of Christ, to the church, and to this ministry. But then Paul addresses the Thessalonians this way. He says, in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, a strong church is founded in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our confession on what we actually believe. Because we believe that God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from perishing and to give us eternal life. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord sent from heaven, that he is God, the eternal Son, embodied in human flesh and sent to the earth by God the Father. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah, and the Savior who had been promised from the very beginning of history. These are the things that the church was built upon. This confession is a distinctive mark of the church. And confessing what we believe makes the church strong. But look at verse 2 and verse 3. Paul says, we always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, first of all, we can't be a strong church without prayer. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. This is a critical trait because God has ordained prayer to be the medium through which God blesses and moves on behalf of the people. Prayer requires our presence, our sharing, are talking with God. God wants to fellowship and commune together with us. So we are encouraged to pray for the people, pray for this church, pray for the leadership, and pray for its ministry. You see, in this verse, Paul gives us three key factors that stirs the church to do the work. And those three key factors our faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. You see, to be a strong church, we got to have faith, love, and hope. You see, faith stirs the church to do the work of the Lord. And when a person believes in Jesus Christ, they are inspired to serve the Lord. The stronger the belief of the person and the people in Christ, the stronger they will work for the Lord. Love stirs the church to labor. The believer who is driven to love is a believer who has really seen and understands the love of Christ. When you understand that Christ took on the sins of the world and bore punishment for them, then you truly understand how deeply the love of Christ goes. Hope in the Lord stirs the church to endure in its work and in its labor. Our hope is in Christ Jesus because we know that God, that Jesus will guide and provide and deliver and strengthen and sustain and bless his people beyond measure and beyond our comprehension. You see, faith, hope, and love comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has the power to convict us in order to change us. I'll show you what I mean. If we look at verse 5 says, because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us. You see, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were imitators of Christ our Lord. The people became imitators of Paul, Silas, and Timothy because they saw Christ living in them, which helped them to become imitators of the Lord. Now, Paul goes on to say in the next verse, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. The persecution that they experienced could not stop the joy that they received because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it transformed them from being imitators of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and imitators of Christ our Lord, into being an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But verse 8 through 10 lets me know the power that exists in the Word of God. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. Now, let me read that verse again, but this time I'm going to put us, I'm going to put Trinity inside that verse. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, Trinity United Methodist Church, not only in Frederick and in Maryland, but in every place your faith in God has become known. Everywhere you go, Trinity, because of your faith in God, the word is going forth. That's the power of having faith and the power of the Word of God. But look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, for the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we have among you and how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. The people in all these different regions we're talking about the Thessalonians because the word transformed them from serving idols to now serving the true and living God. And that's how they became examples of Christ our Lord. That's the power of the Word of God. Verse 10, to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. You know the Lord is coming back. Amen. The Lord is coming back. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Lord could come back today. Because we don't know the day or the hour in which the Lord is coming. But here's the question of today. If you know the Lord is coming back, are you watchful to the Lord? You see, the enemy can distract us so quickly and cause us to be so preoccupied that we forget that the Lord is coming back. See, you can't say that you're watching for the Lord if you're not prepared for the coming of the Lord at any time. When the Lord comes, you won't have time to press the pause button on your life so that you can get everything together. You see, being watchful for the Lord means living every day so that when you wake up, you say to the Lord, "This is the day that you have made. I want to be faithful to you on this day. I want to be obedient to you on this day. I want to be fruitful to you on this day. I want to serve you, Lord, on this day. And I want to please you, Lord, on this day. Because I want you to find me living a faithful life only for you, Lord." That's what it means to be watchful for the Lord. You know, I heard about this father who came to church to pick up his son. And you see, his son had been at this youth group event, and his dad had told him exactly where he was going to pick him up and exactly what time he would be there and exactly where he would be parked. So he gave him all the details. And so his dad pulled up to the church, and he saw his son standing at one of the exits of the church. And he saw his son standing there, but he noticed that his son wasn't watching for him. He wasn't paying attention to anything that was going on around him. And so the father parked exactly where he told his son he was going to be, and he said to himself, "I'm going to see how long it takes. And I'm going to sit here, and I just want to see how long it's going to take for my son to notice that I'm here." And so he sat there, and 5 minutes went by. 10 minutes went by, and the son never looked over. He sat there for 15 minutes, and the son still wasn't paying attention. And finally, 20 minutes goes by, and the son still never even looked over once. And so the dad honked his horn, and the son looked over and saw his dad, and he started walking towards the car. When he got to the car, he said, "Dad, where you been all this time?" And the father said, "I've been right here the whole time." I wonder how many of us are so preoccupied and so distracted by the things of the world that we stop watching and waiting and being ready and prepared for Jesus to come. He could come today, church, and he wants to find us watchful and ready. Jesus is looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. Don't ever believe and don't ever forget that the presence of God is not with us at all times. Because the presence of God is with us at all times. And this is so important for us to know, especially during times in which we are living right now. Look at all the stuff that we've been through just in this year alone. I mean, we've been through hell and high water. We've had COVID-19. We've had wildfires and hurricanes. Thousands of lives lost. And some say Where is God in all of this? God is right by our side. God has been with us the entire time. There's no way we could have made it through to where we are right now without God being right by our side. Throughout this service this morning, everything has been related to the presence of God and understanding that God is with us all the time. The songs that you heard was in relation to the presence of God. The call to worship was in reference to the presence of God. The prayer of confession related to the presence of God. The words of assurance related to the presence of God. And the special song that was sung by Wendy Huff related to the presence of God. We can't be strong by ourselves, and we can't be a strong church without the presence of God and being aware of God's presence in our life. God is with us. The Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. God promises to never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus promises to be with us even until the end of all ages. Hold on to these promises of God. Hold on to the promises of our Lord and Savior. And remember what the Lord said to Joshua, that I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen.